Love to see you shine in the night like a diamond you are.
Part 2. In the next few weeks, it finally happened. He got a boyfriend. Jimin, that is. Yoongi had cracked. Hoseok's expression. And now could be found at Taehyung and Jimin's apartment with bed hair and hickeys, sometimes wearing Jimin's t-shirts, as Jimin flooded around him with bright smiles and nose kisses and back hugs. Seokjin had never seen anyone as smug as Park Jimin, while Min Yoongi looked vaguely disbelieving that it was happening at all, staring at Jimin in awe more often than not, then hiding it, poorly, behind modest smiles. Hoseok and Namjoon had been right. Yoongi was whipped. The development meant that Seokjin, by extension, was not as far removed from Namjoon as he thought, especially as Jimin now insisted that his friends should be Yoongi's friends, and vice versa. It wasn't an issue for Seokjin, not really. He had other things to worry about, like waiting to hear back from his second callback at the theatre. He desperately needed the part. So when Wednesday rolled around, Seokjin was pleased to have a distraction. They had a weekly ritual, dinner at Jimin and Taehyung's, cooked by Seokjin. He wasn't sure when exactly he had become a surrogate father to his three younger friends, but he had adopted three sons somehow before graduating from the arts college. No one could live on gummy bears and instant noodles alone, he maintained, while Taehyung vehemently disagreed, and then always begged Seokjin to cook them his favourite foods anyway. They always got some beers, made weekend plans, played video games, and just hung out. It may even have been Seokjin's favourite night each week. Sometimes there were guests, friends from the college, relatives visiting. So when he showed up with two bags of groceries, and Jimin chirped that he had invited a few extra people, Seokjin thought nothing of it. Laughter and chatter sounded from the living room, and he recognised Yoongi's voice. Figured. "How many are we?" he asked. Jimin batted his eyelashes.
"Oh, like, seven."
"Seven?" he objected. He had brought food for four. "Am I made of money? Am I made of kimchi?" he complained with appropriate melodrama. He looked at the groceries. Right, he could bulk up the japchae with more noodles, and maybe water down the seaweed soup. Ugh, this was not ideal. He took his cooking seriously. But Jimin was giving him puppy eyes. "Ugh, fine. Who's here?" He towed off his shoes.
"Yoongi," Jimin said brightly. "And Hoseok. And Namjoon."
Seokjin almost lost his balance. Almost, only for a second. He cleared his throat and straightened up. "Right. Does Namjoon know I'm here?"
"Yeah, he knows."
Jimin blinked, then looked apologetic.
"That's not, like, weird for you guys, right?"
"No, come on," he said.
"That was ages ago."
So he went to the living room to say hi. The guy sat around laughing and downing beers, taking turns picking the music as they talked. Namjoon was sat on a chair borrowed from the kitchen, wearing tight black jeans, a large burgundy jumper, a grey beanie, and black oversized glasses. The look was Namjoon's bookshop hipster chic, far from the ripped jeans and extra-large hoodies of the rap club. It worked. Really, really well.
"Greetings, eights,"
he announced. And the 8.5? He then acknowledged Jungkook, who smiled, pleased, and then looked shy about it.
That's just offensive, Hoseok said, but seemed secretly delighted.
Namjoon looked at Seokjin for a few steady beats, expression calm, and then looked back to his phone. Seokjin exhaled unsteadily. He'd forgotten what it was like to see someone and instantly be hit by a wave of desire. Stupid goddamn beanie that Namjoon absolutely pulled off.
Right, is anyone gonna help me cook? Someone stand up, or so help you God, I'll...
Jungkook did. Seokjin had raised him well. They chatted and drank their beers as they chopped vegetables and rinsed the noodles. Jungkook complaining how hard college was, and how had Seokjin ever survived it?
Why do I need to do physics for a dance degree? Jungkook complained. Doesn't even make sense. And Jimin said he'd help me, but he's always busy with Yoongi now. Like, the other day, Jimin came to practice and he hadn't even slept. And you know why? Because they were up all night talking.
Jungkook looked scandalized.
Not sex? Sex I could understand, but they genuinely just talked all night. And then Jimin kept chirping about how smart and deep Yoongi is.
Jealous much? He smirked, and Jungkook flared red.
No, I'm happy for them, of course. I like Yoongi. But it's just a bit... Hey, what are you after?
Seokjin looked up from the chopping to see Namjoon stood in the doorway.
A beer would be nice, Namjoon said, and Seokjin turned back to the onions. Armed with a beer, Namjoon stayed, picking up conversation with Jungkook.
Seokjin listened to them chat about Jungkook's latest dance project at the college, and then they talked about how Hoseok and Namjoon were going to Japan early spring, maybe, to record in a studio in Tokyo. Jungkook still thought that the rappers were endlessly cool. The two talked, and Seokjin tried not to think of his audition, but it was coming back to him. He'd been there on Monday, now it was Wednesday, and he'd heard nothing. They'd said, we'll call you soon. No one was calling him.
Another failure. Another rejection.
And he tried so hard for this one. Jungkook left for the bathroom. Seokjin chopped fervently, keenly aware they were alone now.
Chatting up the young meat, I see, he said, still chopping. I mean, have at it. He's a bit shy, is all.
Well, he's the only one of your friends I haven't slept with yet, so...
Namjoon said, trailing off. Seokjin had to turn to him to make sure he was kidding. Namjoon was giving him a dorky, was I funny, smile.
No. No, he hadn't been.
Namjoon stood by the table, with a beanie hat, glasses, holding a beer. Soft-looking and charming, he was annoyed to discover. Ugh, they should fuck, maybe. They should, like, sneak to Taehyung's bedroom and just go at it.
Namjoon looked at the knife he was holding with a raised eyebrow. Did it murder your family, then? The onion?
I stress cook, he said, simply, and returned to the task at hand. It's a thing.
Right. And why are you stressed?
He scoffed. Why am I stressed? Really? The world's on literal fire. And Mountain Man asks me, why am I stressed? Shit, why am I not? Life, rent, climate change, OPEC trade agreements.
Two hands landed on his shoulders, and he stilled.
Yeah, your shoulders are tense.
Namjoon was massaging his shoulders, digging right into tight muscle through the fabric of Seokjin's shirt.
Really tight.
Ha, he said weakly, but his eyes had already slipped shut. Deja vu.
Namjoon huffed, but kept his hands working, and some of the tension drained instantly.
Oh, damn, he was practically melting into it. You should have called me,
Namjoon then murmured quietly.
If you needed relaxing. Seokjin breathed in unsteadily. How many times had they hooked up now? A handful? Probably a bit more than a handful. There was no pattern to it, no expectations, no planning. Namjoon was up to his neck in work, and so was Seokjin. But he'd taken the subway over with regular irregularity. He always expected each visit to be the last. But somehow, he kept coming back. Namjoon's blank check had held. Namjoon said, "The casting people will call. Don't worry." Namjoon was stood close, the heat of him nearly pressed to his back. Seokjin should have protested. They weren't alone. Other people were very much in the apartment. Yet, he was transfixed where he was, wishing they were alone. Maybe they'll call, maybe not, he said.
They will, Namjoon said, voice low in his ear. They'd be insane not to. But come over after this, if you want to take your mind off things.
Usually this conversation was had via text, not in a hot whisper against his skin. Seokjin would send something suave and seductive, like, "You free tonight?" Namjoon, on the other hand, went for,
"Wanna come over?"
The first time Namjoon had booty texted him, Seokjin had become so distracted that he'd nearly walked into traffic. Namjoon's voice saying it, however, into his ear and sweet like honey, made him shiver. He had last gone over just 2 nights before. He didn't feel like he could justify another session just yet, but...
"Yeah, sounds good," he said, with a soft sigh. "I'll come over."
He was, somehow, complete jelly in Namjoon's hands. Namjoon's thumbs now pressing into the base of his skull, fingers tracing the skin below his ears.
He let out a soft moan.
"Can I ask for a full body massage?"
"Depends," Namjoon said quietly. "Will you finally get on your back for me?"
"Oh, absolutely not," he said. But it was a turn-on, somehow, how they negotiated the sex. He liked what he liked. And Namjoon was, well, creative in working around his demands. He knew Namjoon was smirking.
"So you get to have me while I'm on my back. That's fine. But not the other way around. You're not easy to make sense of."
Seokjin would have shrugged, hadn't he been worried Namjoon would stop massaging him.
"It's just a matter of time, you know," Namjoon murmured, nose pressed to his hair now, inhaling. And Seokjin felt arousal pulse through him. "One of these days, I'm gonna have you all spread out beneath me, and you'll be begging me not to stop. Just you wait."
Seokjin swallowed audibly. "Huh, delusional." His throat was dry from just imagining it. "Fallacious, even."
"Well, good word," Namjoon murmured, right to the shell of his ear. God, he was hot. "You know, I..."
Jungkook's voice came from right outside the kitchen, and in the next second, Namjoon had stepped back, hands and warmth gone. Jungkook stilled upon entering, eyes on them, a frown flickering across his face. Namjoon motioned at the cooker.
"Food actually looks good. Who knew Jin Hyung was more than a pretty face?"
"I will use this," he deadpanned, holding the knife and staring Namjoon down. This earned a smirk as Namjoon grabbed his beer and walked out. Fucking hell. Heat was high on his cheeks. Jungkook mistook it for anger. "Was he being a jerk to you?" Jungkook sounded like he'd take the issue up with the teacher if needed. "He wishes," he said, with a roll of his eyes, but his skin was prickling with heat. The reason why he hadn't even told his friends was because they wouldn't understand. They'd twist it into something else completely. Unlike Jimin and Yoongi, who were crashing into each other faster and harder than two cars at a racetrack, he and Namjoon were, well, stationary. They were parked cars, in fact, not going anywhere. Parked in different garages, even. Namjoon was cool about it. Seokjin was cool about it. It was a sex thing, and adults were allowed to have sex things. And that was fine. This is what he told himself. It worked, was working. He didn't need to assess it, because there was nothing to assess. When he next checked his phone, NJ had messaged him.
After dinner, I should leave first. Then you can follow.
He looked towards the living room, where the others were, Jungkook now setting the small table for 7 people. He messaged back with,
KK, I'll meet you by the 7-Eleven down the street.
Yeah, good. We'll need snacks after whatever you're trying to feed us.
I will poison your food, Namjoon.
No, you won't. We need condoms anyway. Might as well get snacks, right?
He stared at the screen, unsettled. A conversation about condoms was responsible. Seokjin had none on him, and Namjoon presumably had none at his place. Hence, condoms were needed.
We need condoms anyway. We need. We.
He swallowed it down. Slip of the tongue. There was no such concept here. Not for him. Definitely not for Namjoon. Jungkook was eyeing him suspiciously. He put his phone away and put on the brightest of smiles. He was fine. This was fine. He had it all under control. The next day, Seokjin landed the role of Giyu in The Vacancy of Spirit as a tormented young man caught between his best friend and his wife. The role was his first big break in a while. He'd really, really needed a break. Namjoon was the first to know, because they called him in the morning as he was getting ready to leave Namjoon's. The phone rang just as he was into his jeans, still shirtless, and Namjoon was in the shower. He was still mid-conversation with the casting director, saying how thrilled he was. Yes, he could come by their offices that afternoon. Yes, right. Bring ID. Get the contract sorted. Fantastic to be on board. When Namjoon came to the bedroom, in black boxer briefs and a towel pressed to his wet hair. Namjoon stilled, listening in. And then Namjoon began to grin wildly, and Seokjin was still on the phone when Namjoon picked him up and twirled him around with a, "You got it?"
"Sounds like you have celebrating to do,"
the casting director laughed. Seokjin was too thrilled to be embarrassed. Namjoon insisted on treating him to breakfast after that, saying he'd go to the studio later, no big deal. Seokjin called his friends from the cafe while Namjoon got them their coffees, and Jimin nearly screamed at the other end over how much Seokjin deserved the role. The play would run for 2.5 months in the biggest small theatre in the city. Critics would come, artists would flock. Oh God. What if he failed? What if he didn't deserve this? Maybe it was the time of the year, gloomy and dark, and full of pits to fall into. He didn't really deserve this, he thought again. It was a fluke. He'd been the best, out of a bad lot. And besides, anything he had ever put all of his effort into in the past had fallen apart in his hands. What was different now? Jimin was organizing a party for him. Jungkook volunteered to read lines with him. Taehyung wanted to photograph him in costume. Seokjin would probably fail,
be crucified by the critics, unable to live up to the expectations of the biggest role he'd ever had yet. This would end his career. Bring on a life in juice and yogurt commercials. He wrapped up the call just as Namjoon joined him at the table, pushing a mocha with whipped cream over to him.
Guess that's one of the many treats I now owe you.
Namjoon grinned.
Since you've been so good.
I'm a star now, he declared. Be DiCaprio or be nothing.
He hasn't aged well, dude, Namjoon said, sincerely.
Point, sure. It was a day worth celebrating, in many respects. But as the hours rolled by, Seokjin increasingly thought back to Sanghun's uncle's house, looming in his mind even weeks later. The silhouettes of people who had discarded him visible in the window. He really didn't deserve this.
Seokjin had a work-in-progress theory about Novembers. The sun kept vanishing, more and more each day. You woke up to darkness and were wrapped in darkness more quickly each evening. The days of mundane work mixed with the rain and the dark, an endless grey existence. And yes, there were highlights. His friends, their silly jokes. And then there was Namjoon's place, a little secluded haven he could drop into without being questioned. And there he got body heat and warmth, scattered little deaths across Namjoon's sheets. Those things made the month bearable, made him able to stay loud and obnoxious, elbow his friends, annoy people with unasked-for serenades. The usual Seokjin show. But truthfully, it didn't make the time go by any faster. And whether or not he deserved the leading role, the production started in full swing. Seokjin was in it now. He just needed to stay afloat somehow. He needed help, and many people volunteered. Even Namjoon did, and Seokjin was desperate enough to take up the offer, figuring Namjoon would be more honest with him than his friends. Namjoon had never been to his place before, and Seokjin felt a bit testy about it. He'd tidied up, then thought it was absurd that he was tidying up, and then he'd purposefully messed the place up again. Namjoon's opinion didn't matter, did it? Namjoon arrived after 9 o'clock. Straight from the studio, leather jacket and newly dyed silver-grey hair, and the takeaway he'd picked up on the way. The second Namjoon arrived, he started snooping around. Seokjin was in his small kitchen, arranging the boxes of food, opening beers, and Namjoon didn't come when he called. He went to the bedroom door, and Namjoon was stood by his overflowing bookcase, head tilted to read the titles.
Food's ready, he repeated.
His place was small, and he knew it. It was all he could afford. Namjoon's other conquests were probably famed rap scene success stories, in nicer apartments with bigger beds and no damp in the walls. Whose idea had it been to meet here? Namjoon said, pulling out a book and flipping through it, then sliding it back, fingers tracing across the spines.
I'm busy studying.
What exactly?
You?
Namjoon said, glancing at him.
I'm getting a degree in Kim Seokjin. Aiming for a PhD, at least.
Oh, isn't he cute? He said, although a part of him swelled up with something warm. Stop going through my stuff and come eat.
Namjoon soon was sat opposite him by the small kitchen table, asking how long he'd lived there. So he said he'd moved in a couple of years ago, after the breakup. He said it thoughtlessly, and then wished he hadn't. Namjoon had picked up chopsticks, and they stilled in the air briefly, before swooping down to the shared noodles.
You lived with someone before?
Yeah, for a while, he shrugged, but it felt like a lie. For a few years, I mean.
Namjoon nodded, eyes on the food.
You must have been pretty young. 20, 21.
He forgot what age he'd been when he and Sung-hoon had moved in together. He supposed that was young, in hindsight. But wasn't that what you were supposed to spend youth on, anyway? Being foolishly in love? Until you learned that movies and songs and books had all lied to you? Namjoon didn't say anything else of it, though. And they talked about other things instead. About Hoseok's mixtape and how Namjoon was producing it for him. About Seokjin's play and the other cast members. About Jimin's one-month anniversary gift to Yoongi that had stressed Yoongi out because he hadn't gotten Jimin anything. And the two of them had sat down and talked about relationship expectations.
But I'm a giver. I give, Jimin had declared. And Yoongi had said,
And that's amazing, Jiminy. It really is, but can you maybe give a little less? Which had caused a whole scene. But the two had reconciled after Yoongi had insisted it had come out wrong, and Jimin was perfect as he was. It sounded exhausting, all of it. Seokjin was glad such things were behind him for good. By the time he was on his third beer, they were both laughing over stupid jokes. Namjoon grinned at him from across the table as they talked. Their socked feet were touching. When the food was gone, Namjoon stood up.
Right, let's look at this script then. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
How dare you insinuate...
Wait, which am I?
You tell me.
Namjoon smirked. Since he didn't have a living room, the bedroom was the only rehearsal space. Namjoon sat on the edge of the bed, holding the script, and insisted on doing a high-pitched voice for Min-sol's parts, which made it very hard for Seokjin to take anything seriously. Min-sol Namjoon said,
I have ached and burned for years, Gyu, like an oil lamp on a windowsill.
Don't talk to me of ache, he declared, pacing in his bedroom. The few beers had loosened him up, and it was easier to slip into the chaos of Gyu, even if he wasn't quite as refined as he wanted to be, even if Namjoon sounded absurd.
Don't talk to me of burn. What do you know of burn? You and I exist on different planes. You are greed itself. Yes, you know you are. Greed for me, for your husband. You ache? You ache? How can something that consumes so much ache?
The next line didn't come. He looked at Namjoon, who was staring at him with an open mouth. Namjoon blinked.
Hyung, wow. You're, like, insanely good. Shit, I got goosebumps.
Namjoon started examining his arms.
Yes, yes, do praise me, but do also give me the line.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Namjoon cleared his throat, put on a high-pitched, girly voice again.
because it's infinite. It's bottomless. You, do not rage like this, please. What I do is out of love. Innocent, ardent.
Innocent? Harlot of a woman. You have consumed me, spat me out. There is nothing left of me. There.
No, wrong.
Namjoon interrupted and waved the script in the air.
You kiss me now, it says.
Namjoon was trying to be cheeky, but Seokjin marched over, grabbed Namjoon's face between his hands and kissed him, fierce and desperate. He pulled back just as forcefully, and Namjoon nearly fell on the bed.
There, Min-sol, my wasted life passes through your lips.
He walked to the window and caught his breath. He shook his head slowly. We will never speak again, Min-sol. A sob should have sounded behind him, but Namjoon clearly didn't know how to fake cry.
Don't. Your tears mean nothing. It is only time and each other that we have wasted. And that is all.
End scene. Light fade out. Min-sol sobbing on the stage, curled up,
and Gyu looking across the theater unseeingly, beaten by Min-so, and taking his revenge the only way he could.
Oh, wow,
Namjoon said, and Seokjin rolled his shoulders, returning to himself.
I mean, God, this is heavy, huh? I've never been kissed like that. You made it so angry. But don't you find this harlot line kind of sexist?
But it was good, though? He asked, letting some of his nerves show. He grabbed the script from Namjoon and sat down to scrutinize the scene. Did I get my lines right? Will you check?
Hey!
He protested, feebly, as Namjoon's arms wrapped around his waist, and Namjoon nuzzled into his neck.
It's not 6 o'clock. Buzz off, he said, even as he relaxed into the embrace.
My wasted life passes through your lips,
Namjoon said quietly, hooking his chin on his shoulder and looking at the script with him. Seokjin stilled a little. He wasn't used to this kind of proximity with Namjoon, which seemed absurd considering all the other stuff they did together. Namjoon was clinging onto him, and it wasn't sexual. It was nice, though. It was nice.
Hey, the girl who plays Min-so, is she hot?
Oh, yeah. It's the theater. Everyone's hot. He shrugged, trying to distract himself. I'm especially hot. The others get points for trying.
But is it weird kissing her all the time?
Kissing Seha? No. In college, we did a play where I gave a blowjob on stage, and... Namjoon's head lifted, eyes wide.
Holy shit, you really did porn?
It was not porn. It was art. I fake blew the guy and then spat out this mixture of water and icing sugar that looked like semen. How dare you call my onstage fellatio porn, you uncultured swine? You wouldn't recognize true art if it hit you in the... Namjoon kissed him, mouth twisted in a smile. Seokjin realized vaguely that he really, really should be worried as to how much he let Namjoon get away with, mocking high-pitched Min-so voice or not.
Wasn't porn, he mumbled,
when they broke apart, and he felt a little dazed. Namjoon was grinning. The College Review called it ingenious.
Good word, Namjoon said in approval.
Seokjin felt at a loss suddenly, so he went back to the script, and Namjoon brushed his temple, thumb drawing a gentle circle over it.
You okay?
Namjoon asked after a few beats. Everyone was asking him that lately. He was okay, really. It was just November. It was stress. It was the constant fear of failure that he hid behind loud jokes and unrestrained hollering. Seokjin dropped the script, flopping down onto the bed with a sigh.
Headache, is all he said.
Namjoon looked at him thoughtfully.
You want me to go?
He paused, considering it, expecting himself to say yes. But instead, he shook his head. Namjoon lay down beside him, an arm loosely around his waist. Seokjin, for whatever reason, didn't mind. He closed his eyes, the other's warmth pressed to his side. Namjoon's fingers brushed against his forehead.
I'm the same, Namjoon offered. I overthink everything, all the time. It's exhausting, right?
Yeah, he admitted. And it sounded like Namjoon was giving him yet another blank check. He could talk now, if he wanted to. That was what it sounded like. And Seokjin was left unsure as to when that had become an option for the two of them. They talked, sure. How was your day? Do you want head? How's the production coming along? Can you fuck me a bit harder? They talked, easily enough, about things that didn't matter. It was nice having someone really and truly to talk to, the way Yoongi and Jimin probably were learning how to do. Late into the night, the conversation flowing, admitting to things no one else had ever heard before,
And Namjoon was lying next to him, arms slung around his midriff, gaze calm. Seokjin had 1,000, 1,000,000 words wrapped up inside him. But his throat closed up. He could tell Namjoon was waiting for him to say something, eyes gentle but dark. He reached out to run his fingers through the silver of Namjoon's hair. It was a good look on him. He cleared his throat, swallowed down 1,000,000 words.
You know, my fellatio act has improved since that play.
A smile flickered onto Namjoon's lips.
Oh, it has?
I could show you, he said teasingly, tugging Namjoon down and pulling Namjoon's bottom lip between his teeth. It turned out that sucking cock was a hell of a lot easier than sorting out all of the conflicting thoughts in his head. It turned out that if you sucked cock hard enough and took it in so deep that your eyes watered, well, it wasn't the same as tears, but it was release too. Namjoon's hands were in his hair, pulling on the strands painfully.
Fucking hell.
Namjoon groaned, gazing down at him.
You look so good like this, baby.
It was enough.
Jungkook is my only comfort now,
Taehyung announced dramatically as they sat in the cafe on campus, Seokjin feeling too old to be there still. Taehyung had declared their meeting as an emergency, so Seokjin had skipped his evening diction and enunciation class that he was taking to boost his CV just for this. That is hardly an emergency, he pointed out. One might call it a minor inconvenience.
Minor? Taehyung gasped. My Chim Chim has left me, abandoned me for that blue-haired muffin. His hair is blue now, by the way. And have you seen Namjoon? He's gone from blonde to silver. They think they're so cool, honestly.
Taehyung mumbled, sat in front of him with flaming red hair and no hint of irony whatsoever. Seokjin knew Namjoon had dyed his hair. He knew, but pretended not to.
And you never come hang out anymore either. What are you doing every night even?
Trying to learn my lines, he said in his defense, feeling his phone vibrate in his pocket. I haven't abandoned you, I promise. I am simply very important, on the cusp of fame, so to speak. Cherish these moments, Tay-Tay, when I still remember your name. He pulled the phone out to see a message from NJ.
Finished early. What are you up to?
Namjoon hardly ever finished early, but rather lived his life in the studio. Before he could message back, Namjoon texted again.
Wait, you're in class. I forgot.
He blinked at his phone, surprised. Since when did Namjoon know his schedule? Coffee with a friend, he supplied in a quick text, a persistent warmth in his guts again. Taehyung was watching him.
What's wrong?
Nothing. His phone beeped again. Sorry, he then added, because he knew it was rude to be texting in company, but...
What happened to class? And which friend?
Skipped it. Tay.
Cool, where you guys at?
Cafe?
I figured, genius. Which one?
Why?
You coming over? Nah, I'm heading to the gym.
He bit on his lip, stopping himself from typing, which gym? But knew it was the Fit 365 Plus chain near the label offices. Why did he know that? Why were they even having this conversation?
Earthed Jinyoung,
Taehyung said, waving his hand.
What's wrong?
Nothing. just one of the cast members, just like checking where I was, he mumbled. He knew, rationally, that it was an expression of interest, maybe, Namjoon figuring out if he was available for sex. But the exchange reminded him of Sang-hoon, somehow, and he felt thrown off by the realization. Like, what business is it of theirs where I am, right? That's not their business. Taehyung looked delighted.
Wow, you're losing it.
He felt close to it. He felt, he wasn't sure, flattered, thrilled to be noticed, to be thought of. But then beneath that, worry bubbled.
Just don't forget about your first Hollywood million,
Taehyung then said, very seriously. How could I? We will be fabulous. I will be fabulous. Champagne all day for one and all, he declared pompously, forcing a smile through the apprehension. He'd promised to take Taehyung to New York with him, stay in a nice hotel somewhere, and they'd go to all the photography galleries Taehyung dreamed of visiting. They'd shaken hands on it. It was a done deal. Taehyung smiled brightly, and Seokjin felt better.
You sure you're okay, though? Taehyung persisted. Nothing else going on?
No, just work all the time. Come on, since when do I keep things from you? He asked, kicking at Taehyung's feet under the table. And Taehyung grinned and kicked back at him. Ugh, kicking your elders? How dare you? He earned a wider grin. Good. Another buzz, another message.
Have fun anyway. And call me later, babe. Wink.
He blinked. This didn't feel casual, he realized, to his great concern. And he expected anger and irritation to bubble up. But instead, he felt something different. Hope, he realized, as his chest felt warm and he had to fight off a smile. The weak, painful feeling inside him was hope. He could handle nearly anything at all in this world, but not that. Never that. Seokjin logically set a course to avoid Namjoon, not to ghost him per se, but just buy himself some time and clear his head. Their agreement was a no-strings type, so really Seokjin wouldn't have needed to think twice about it. He messaged Namjoon that he was busy with his play and that he'd send a message when his schedule cleared up. Namjoon texted him to work hard and do his best. That was all. And it shouldn't have bothered Seokjin in any way or form. But it bothered him endlessly. It bothered him that he didn't hear from Namjoon at all. It bothered him that he didn't know who was filling in as Namjoon's token sex buddy in Seokjin's absence. It bothered him that he'd let this get to a point where Seokjin cared foolishly. November had finally changed into December, and his birthday rolled around. He'd invited people to a cocktail bar to celebrate, an open invitation to friends from college, the cast, and his dongsaengs, of course. They were a dozen or so sat around a few tables, with soft jazz in the air and candlelight around them. The place was chic and busy with table service, a waitress coming by to get their orders, and then returning with ornate cocktails that cost a fortune. Taehyung had brought his camera and was taking pictures. Jungkook was buzzed and bonding over a shared love of dogs with Seha, his co-star who played Min-so. And Jimin had dragged Hoseok to the dance floor where the lounge jazz changed to an easy techno. Yoongi arrived fresh from the studio around midnight, with Namjoon. This didn't surprise Seokjin.
Jimin had put together a shared group chat in an effort to make Yoongi's friends my friends' friends too. And Seokjin had sent an open invite for cocktails to it. Namjoon had given a thumbs up, whatever that had meant. Hoseok and Yoongi had said they'd come. And so Namjoon came, and they hadn't spoken to each other for days. Which was nothing, of course. This didn't bother him, and he was damn sure Namjoon hadn't thought twice about it. Yoongi came over to wish him a happy birthday, and Seokjin gave him a quick one-armed hug and thanked him for coming. Namjoon was next, in big black boots, black jeans, a simple long-sleeved silken white shirt with the top three buttons undone, hair silver, swept to one side a little. Seokjin steadied himself from how his guts tightened, wondering if the entire bar was aware that one of the most gorgeous men on the face of the planet was now casually stood there. Oh, and Namjoon was there too. Ha ha, right? He let out a nervous breath. Damn. Here, Namjoon said, handing him a present that was book-shaped and book-sized. Ergo, a book? Seokjin took it, feeling its weight. Two books.
Happy birthday, Namjoon said, and hugged him, like Yoongi had, one-armed and quick.
But unlike with Yoongi, Seokjin recognized his scent and his warmth, and he wanted to press into both with a longing he didn't recognize.
You look good, Namjoon said, quietly, into his ear.
Then Namjoon had pulled back, just as quickly. Nothing to it. Yoongi and Namjoon ended up sitting somewhere across their smattering of tables, with Seha and a few other cast members. Jungkook was already leaning into his space eagerly, eyeing the present. What is it? Most people were buying him cocktails. He definitely wasn't expecting presents. Yoongi and Namjoon were ordering drinks from the waitress as he unwrapped the present. Two books, like he thought. The first was a biography of Greta Garbo, in English, with a tragically beautiful black-and-white photo of her on the cover. The second was an English-Korean dictionary.
How cool! Jungkook said, already snatching the biography. This is that actress you have that poster of, right?
Jungkook was thumbing through the book.
Why do you like her again?
Why didn't he adore Greta Garbo, the famed loner of classic Hollywood cinema? Walking away from one of the most prestigious film careers at the age of 35, never to be seen on the screen again, no matter how people begged. She never married, never had children, never kept a lover for too long. She lived alone in New York, and accumulated an art collection that was worth millions. And she hated all publicity until the end of her life. And no one, to this day, had figured her out. She was one of the greats, he said simply. He took in a breath and looked at the dictionary he was still holding. My English is bad. I'll never be able to read it.
Yours is better than mine. It'll be good practice, Jungkook encouraged.
How did Namjoon even know you like her? And, oh, he's written something. Jungkook handed the book back to him, and he saw the first page.
To Seokjin, for your joys and sorrows, Namjoon.
He knew well the famous line that Greta had uttered. Your joys and sorrows, you can never tell them. You cheapen the inside of yourself if you do tell them. He bit on his bottom lip and closed the book, Jungkook having read over his shoulder. He cleared his throat.
Well, sweet of him. Poor boy smitten, probably. Aren't they all?
He quickly slipped both books in the paper bag Jimin had brought with Seokjin's new scarf in it. Namjoon was chatting with Yoongi, laughing over something, not even looking his way. He and Jungkook finished their cocktails and took to the dance floor. It was nearing 1 in the morning. Some people left, some stayed.
Jimin was perched on Yoongi's lap back at their table. Taehyung was going around with his camera, getting people to pose for him. Namjoon was talking to a tall, pretty boy at the bar, giving his semi-shy smile, covering his mouth when he laughed too hard, nodding in agreement. Seokjin ached a little. 26. And what for? The bar had a mezzanine level, with a second bar, and Seokjin headed there when the table service vanished. As he slithered up to be served, he ended up right next to Namjoon, who was ordering himself a beer at a cocktail bar, right? Seokjin hadn't followed him there, had he?
Hey, Namjoon said, clocking him.
And he nodded, all casual about it. They hadn't seen each other for a week, which was the longest break they'd had since the very beginning. Seokjin had been sleeping at home each night, starfished across the sheets, Namjoon's faint snoring not disturbing him whatsoever. He'd been fine the first few nights. He'd been restless since, and that irritated the hell out of him. Namjoon, however, was easy.
How's the birthday going?
My wasted life passes through my lips, he quoted, and Namjoon smiled. Hey, thanks for the present. The bartender was free, so he ordered his cosmopolitan instead. Namjoon stayed, beer in hand. He tried again. You didn't have to get me anything. The book can't have been easy to find. Namjoon shrugged.
I only had to go to a couple of bookshops. Okay, maybe five.
A dorky smile flashed at him quickly.
Found a good one in Daehangno. We should go sometime.
And Seokjin nodded. Good, good, that was fine. Why the hell was he nervous? Namjoon reached out to brush his hair, and Seokjin flinched, but didn't move back. Namjoon frowned as his hand settled on the side of his neck.
You okay? You're acting strange.
Being normal is fiercely overrated, he argued. But Namjoon didn't smile. Things have been a bit much lately. That's all, he admitted at last. The workshops, the play, the exhaustion, the fear of failure, the need to not let any of that show, and then throw whatever he was doing with Namjoon on top. Namjoon smiled at him, clueless, apparently, and...
So are you still avoiding me, or...
Namjoon ventured. Ah, not clueless. Namjoon was looking at him with a quirked eyebrow. So Seokjin said, I have been busy. He had a policy. He had his own rules. Listen, I use my time how I choose. I'm not accountable to you or to anyone. A frown flickered across Namjoon's face.
What?
Namjoon pulled his hand back, no longer smiling.
Who said you were?
Well, no one, he supposed. I'm just saying that this isn't a thing where we keep tabs on each other, he said. That's all. A part of him asked, what was so bad about keeping tabs on someone? Wasn't it nice someone cared? Wouldn't that be nice if Namjoon did care? He refused to listen to that voice. It was a weakness to need anyone.
You're assuming an awful lot about what I want, Namjoon said, eyes on him and narrowing. Have a good birthday, Seokjin.
Namjoon walked into the crowd, and he watched Namjoon go, baffled. A fight? A quarrel? Shit. He paid for his drink. He should have felt better now. He didn't. He felt awful. Hoseok and Namjoon were sat at one of the tables talking, and Seokjin tried to ignore them as he sat with Jimin and Yoongi. He made a list in his head of the warning signs that had troubled him. The language of we, the queries as to where he was and who he was with, and now hunting for obscure books just for him, and giving Seokjin a blank check to whatever he wanted without ever saying how dangerous that was for Seokjin. But Namjoon didn't seem to see the danger of it. Casual and light, easy and breezy. Hoseok joined them while Namjoon sat three tables over, now talking to a man Seokjin didn't recognize. Were they flirting? Looked like it. Sehal was there too. The guy was a friend of hers. They looked like they were all having a great time. Namjoon was most likely over their arrangement already. God, Seokjin was bad at relationships as he was bad at non-relationships. Someone's not leaving alone tonight, Jimin said with glee, nodding over at Namjoon and the guy. Both Hoseok and Yoongi snorted, almost in sync. Jimin huffed. What? He's got a reputation. Says who? Yoongi asked, arm around Jimin's shoulders, keeping Jimin close. Jimin pouted. Well, you did. Hoseok was grinning. Is this about Haejin again? She interned with Namjoon. Hoseok added to Seokjin, helpfully. When they hooked up, she told literally every single person we knew about it, and people we didn't know too. Yoongi snorted. Pretty sure the janitors knew. Who didn't? Hoseok laughed. Her first ever orgasm or something. People are still talking about it. Namjoon on the Yuna rebound was something, huh? And he and Yoongi nodded over shared memories Seokjin couldn't place, but he caught the name. Yuna. Hey, cutie. Namjoon had never said her name himself. God, remember that time Namjoon slept with that? Hoseok began, but Yoongi shot a glare at him, or more like a meaningful glance, and Hoseok's open mouth snapped shut like that of a goldfish. Never mind. Lame story. Seokjin shrugged. What did he care? He knew he was on the list with many other conquests. He knew this. The man and Namjoon were leaning into each other, talking into each other's ears over the music. The guy put his hand on Namjoon's thigh. Game over. It was done. Namjoon had humored him long enough. He was fine alone. He was fine. I'm gonna go dance now, he decided, loudly, and pulled Jimin up from Yoongi's arms. Why had he made a big deal of it? Namjoon had been nothing but chill about all of it. Seokjin had been flattered by the attention, which was dangerous for him, but for Namjoon he was just another encounter, another flustered intern maybe, until he'd made himself difficult and inconvenient. So much for cute little messages, so much for the tiny drop of hope that he'd loathed. Just keep that goddamn bottle of useless hope corked up nice and tight. This was nothing. Namjoon himself had told him to stop assuming things. He put on the biggest smile he could fake. He was 26 and had 9 years to get Garbo's career and then retire to be mysterious and fabulous and alone. She had never figured out what she wanted either. After some dancing and some talking to Seha and Taehyung, he went to take a leak and, as he returned, he bumped into Namjoon again, this time at the bottom of the mezzanine stairs. They nearly walked into each other, then stopped. Namjoon looked at him, taking him in. Seokjin felt like he'd lost his footing. He was surprised Namjoon was still there, to be honest, that Namjoon hadn't left already with Seha's friend. He gave Namjoon a little shrug. And, oh well, never mind. From here on out, they'd ignore it. They'd pretend it had never happened. And the guys would be none the wiser. Really, it'd be for the... In the next second, Namjoon had grabbed his wrist and pulled him into the space under the stairs, empty kegs stored to the sides of them. And then he was pressed to the wall, and Namjoon was kissing him. He lost his breath, winded, but Namjoon had hands on the sides of his face, keeping him in place and was still kissing him. and once he'd processed that, he kissed back, desperately, the kiss hot and wet, tongues brushing together. He entwined around Namjoon, arms looping around his shoulders, their bodies pressed together, seeking contact. Namjoon's forehead pressed to his as the kiss broke, and into the space between their mouths, Namjoon said,
"Will you come home with me?"
He took in an unsteady breath, swallowing slowly.
"Just because you buy me nice shit doesn't..."
"Hey, come on," Namjoon cut in. "Come home with me."
He steadied himself. Calm and light, casual and breezy. He was supposed to be the funny guy, the life of the party. But he hadn't felt that way for weeks. "Don't analyze it," he told himself.
"Okay," he heard himself say. "The music here is awful anyway."
"I can put something better on for you,"
Namjoon murmured. And Seokjin thought of the fuck music Namjoon always put on at his place. The thought alone turned him on. But there was also an ache now. He'd missed Namjoon's scent, the warmth of his touch, the taste of his spit. Fuck. He decided to be cocky about it.
"Well, let's get out of here then, lover boy."
"Oh, I definitely don't like that," Namjoon said with a crinkle of his nose, but then pulled in a breath. "You're all mixed signals, you know."
Namjoon's thumbs pressed against his hip bones.
"Gotta keep him guessing," he forced himself to joke, half-heartedly. "Nothing to it."
His nose brushed against Namjoon's.
"So we're good?"
Yeah, always."
Everything was always fine.
"Okay, good. I'll meet you outside, babe."
He was left dizzy and dazed. Seokjin walked out into the cold 10 minutes later with 2 bags, presents he'd got, the other heavy from the books. He'd said goodbye to people quickly, giving everyone hugs, not finding Taehyung, but he'd passed on his goodbyes. He half wondered if Namjoon had changed his mind in the meanwhile. But Namjoon had a taxi waiting, was stood in the night, in a long brown winter coat, on his phone. But Namjoon looked up as he approached, mouth twisting into a knowing smile. Namjoon opened the door to the back seat.
"After you?"
"So well-mannered for a mountain man," he said, huffing when Namjoon took his bags from him. But he let Namjoon do it.
Namjoon flashed a smile at him.
"Only because it's your birthday, Seokjin Shi."
"Suck up," he complained. And, unable to help himself, kissed Namjoon, pressing their smiles together.
He had not planned on leaving his birthday party with Namjoon, escaping into the night like this. He had planned none of this. The kiss lingered. Within the hour, he was letting Namjoon fuck him while he was on all fours, his throat closing up from the feeling of Namjoon over him, pressed to his back, impossibly close. He was fine. He was fine.
"I missed this,"
he confessed at some point, fucked out of his mind. Namjoon's lips were on the back of his neck.
"Yeah, me too. Me too."
Seokjin came soon after, groaning against the pillows, legs weak, his body shaking as Namjoon murmured about how good he was. He was left completely unsure whether he'd lost or won. Seokjin was still fast asleep when the side of his face was kissed. It was too early, far too early to be woken up, or to even consider it. He groaned in protest, trying to move away from the intrusion. His objection was clear, but another kiss, equally wicked, was pressed to the side of his face.
"Sanghun,"
he complained.
"Honey, I'm sleeping."
He burrowed into the pillow further, He was still dreaming. He was on stage, wearing traditional hanbok. His face was painted. It was raining in the theater. The audience were people with heads of fish. And then nothing. Just black. And deep, deep sleep. Blissful and unaware. He awoke with a jerk, blinking. It was later. The bed beside him was empty. God, where had that dream been? What weekday was it? Where was he? He rubbed the sleep out of his eyes. Namjoon had stayed over the night before, he recalled now. It had been a nice night. Namjoon going through the first few pages of the Greta biography with him, pointing out difficult words he didn't know. He'd heard Namjoon rap in English before, but those were lines that could be memorized, much like a script. He hadn't realized it was a language Namjoon actually knew. The biography was still on the nightstand, Greta's tragic face looking up at the ceiling, forlorn and majestic. He rose to his elbows. Namjoon. The sheets beside him weren't warm anymore. And then he remembered that Namjoon had an early recording scheduled. He reached for his phone to check the time. 9:20. He typed, I had the craziest dream. Do you think fish people are real? It had been a few good weeks. Practices at the theater were going fine, and he and Namjoon had returned to seeing each other almost every other night. He wasn't sure what that meant exactly, but as long as he refused to think about it, things appeared to be good. Although Namjoon didn't reply to his admittedly rhetorical question. The day didn't shake off its surreal aura, however. Not during the read-through of the play, and not when he was taking advice from the director. She had a clear vision and was not to be messed with. Luckily, Seokjin found her easy to understand, and she was soon satisfied with his adjustments. They spent the afternoon getting fitted for their stage clothes. He and Seha were in the dressing room with the seamstress. Seha was in a dress she'd wear in the first act, in Minseol's outfit that was flower-patterned and cute, unlike the ragged nightdress she'd end up in. Seokjin was getting his pant leg measured, staying still as the costume lady's hands hovered on his inner leg. His phone beeped on a row of vanities, close to where Seha sat. Hey, could you check that? He asked, hoping Namjoon had finally replied. She picked up his phone and stared at the screen. Jimin wants to know what flavored lube you think is the least disgusting. Huh, how many boyfriends do you have exactly? Jimin's a friend, he objected. And zero boyfriends. And also, Cherry. Seha put his phone down with a frown. Really? Did you guys break up? His head whipped up from the seamstress to look at Seha. What? Who? You and your boyfriend. You know, tall, silver dye, handsome, Seha described. Was being very charming at your birthday shindig. His stomach dropped instantly. What had made Seha assume that when Seokjin had been avoiding Namjoon for nearly the entire night? The seamstress stood up, nodding that she was done, scribbling figures into a notepad quickly. Seokjin relaxed, but only a little. Seha must have seen him pale, because she grinned cheekily. Oh, is it like kind of new? Sorry, with the way you guys were sucking face, I thought it was a done deal. Sucking face? What? I have never sucked a face, any face, let alone... He stopped. Seha looked delighted. Who else saw? He asked in horror. It had been a few weeks now, and Taehyung had been a bit weird with him. Maybe. Or did he just imagine that? Only the girls queuing for the bathroom, she laughed. And Seokjin groaned. Seha had known for days and days. God, she could have said something. Hey, it was hot as hell. You two made a lot of ladies very happy, let me tell ya. She was smirking, leg crossed over the other. What's the big deal? He shook his head. No deal. We're not dating. It's not a thing. You know, it's, well, we just hook up sometimes. And we have mutual friends, so we don't want them to get the wrong idea. Seha stared. The wrong idea? Like, what's the wrong idea? That you're super into each other?
Shit, I haven't been kissed like that in years.
But I kiss you every day, he objected with a gasp. How dare you say you haven't been kissed like that? I put love and passion into our smooches. I ache for you, Minsoya.
Stage action doesn't keep my bed warm at night, she shot back, tutting her tongue. She eyed him suspiciously.
So, what's wrong with him?
He did not want to have this conversation. Nothing, he muttered. I just don't do relationships. And Namjoon, he's just looking for something convenient.
Seha stared at him in disbelief.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, sure. The entire conversation I had with him was him asking about you and this play, but sure.
Seha shook her head and turned to the mirror, picking up the sponge of her bronzer and touching up her makeup. And Seokjin felt his ears tingling with heat.
Honestly, who hurt you? Seha asked, half jokingly. But she was also serious.
Seokjin laughed, just like he was supposed to, and then busied himself with his shirt sleeves. He knew the answer to her question, and that made it worse. They wrapped up around 8 o'clock in the evening, and Seokjin headed to Taehyung and Jimin's for their weekly meal. Yoongi was in the studio still, Jimin updated him, which meant Namjoon was at the studio too. A long day for them. Seha had seen them, but had anyone else? One of Namjoon's friends, maybe one of his own? He broached the topic to test the waters as they ate in the living room.
My birthday was a good night, right? Did you guys have fun? See anything?
Scandalous.
Apart from your dancing? Jimin shot back, and Seokjin glared.
Taehyung just smiled into his noodles, and Jungkook was grinning at the insult.
Okay, he decided. He was probably in the clear.
Yoongi came over around 11, just as Seokjin was leaving.
Yoongi looked beat.
And Jimin was instantly cooing at him and covering him up in hugs.
We would have finished hours ago, but Namjoon was in one of his moods, Yoongi complained bitterly.
Seokjin headed home and caught himself checking his phone for messages. Eventually, he sent, No response. When he woke up the next day, this time from a restless sleep that featured no fish people, Namjoon had messaged him.
Studio's really busy right now. I'll message you if my schedule clears up.
5 minutes after these ones, in the middle of the night, Namjoon had added,
keep fighting. You'll do great in the play.
Seokjin stared at his phone in faint disbelief at first because the messages sounded so unlike Namjoon, but there they were. That was fine, he thought. Of course it was fine. It was a casual thing, and if one of them was busy, they'd put it on pause. No big deal. Then he noticed the choice of words. Namjoon would message him if his schedule cleared up. Not when, but if.
Sure, why not? Bygones, really.
His hands were shaking. The universities were about to close for the winter break, and his friends got ready to vanish on skiing trips, on visits to see the family, on getaways with boyfriends and girlfriends. The cast got 3 days off over Christmas, and his parents were heading to Australia for a holiday anyway, so he planned to stay in the city, alone. It wouldn't be his first Christmas in the city, because his family didn't make too much of a fuss over the holiday, and they rarely spent it together. Christmas was, for Seokjin, as for many others, a time for friends and significant others. Hence, Yoongi going with Jimin, for instance. And it explained why Namjoon's parents had decided to celebrate their 30th wedding anniversary over the holiday too, as a romantic gesture. He learned of this when he met up with Jimin, which turned out to be Jimin plus Yoongi, plus Namjoon. And they sat in the cafe, the four of them, for a horrid 10 minutes before Namjoon made his excuses of how busy he was. Seokjin was relieved, really, when Namjoon walked out. If he hadn't been sure before that Namjoon had ditched him, he certainly knew it then. Namjoon had barely looked at him. So much for that. He'd manage alone now. He'd been foolish to ever think, to even consider. He and Jimin left together to do some shopping, and Jimin said, "Yoongi asked me something really weird the other day." "Is this another sex thing?" he sighed, resigned. "Fine, lay it on me. I will do my best to guide you through..." "No!" Jimin flushed, defensive but embarrassed. "No, he figured that out. I told you. No, he... Well, he asked me if I knew anyone named Sanhun." Seokjin frowned, the mere mention of the name unsettling. It was a name. It was a name some people had. "Why would he ask you that?" Jimin shrugged. "I don't know. I mean, the only Sanghun I know is your ex, so that's what I told him. He was weird about it. He was weird now, too, with you. Am I missing something?"
Yeah, Yoongi and I are having a tragic love affair behind your back.
That's not funny," Jimin protested. Seokjin forgot, sometimes, how in love Jimin was. He wrapped an arm around Jimin's shoulders, squeezing him fondly, instead of actually apologizing. There were plenty of Sanghuns out there. Hell, it could be anyone, right? Jimin tightened the scarf around his neck. "Anyway, everyone's being weird. Namjoon's being weird, and it's stressing Yoongi out. Apparently he's seeing someone." Seokjin nearly guided them into a lamppost, dodging it last minute. Jimin told him to watch where he was going, and Seokjin apologized, trying to piece it together. Namjoon was too busy for him now, and Namjoon had avoided looking at him in the cafe too. They hadn't spoken in days. Namjoon's schedule might clear up, or it might not. It all added up. "Huh, who's he seeing?" he asked, as calmly as he could, navigating the crowded street with Jimin, their breaths in the air. "I don't know, but Yoongi says it seems pretty intense, but like, not in a good way. They're behind on recording anyway, and then Girl Loves recording in the new year." "Yeah," he muttered, uncomprehending. "Yeah, you gotta focus on work." He looked around them. Enamored youths were walking around hand in hand in thick winter coats, with Christmas trees and lights in shop windows, people going to ice rinks on cute dates together, while songs about reindeer none of them had ever seen were blasting. He had spent many a Christmas in the city, with Sanhun, with Sanhun's friends. "'Tis the season for it, for love, isn't it?" he heard himself ramble. "You don't want to be alone this time of year. You want to get a sweetheart. Yeah, good for him." He'd always known this. He'd always known he was nothing. "God, that's just really great," he said. He was fine. He was fine. He was fine. He was... Everyone left. He was fine. And then everyone left. Seokjin didn't need people. He had to be fine by himself. He had to be enough for himself. He couldn't rely on others for happiness, not even his best friends. He had learned that when Sanhun left him. So he didn't text anyone because he knew people were busy. Yoongi and Jimin were with each other. Taehyung was with his grandparents. Jungkook had gone skiing with some old school friends. Namjoon was visiting his parents, or hell, maybe Namjoon was with his new squeeze. Everyone had someone. He spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in bed, trying to read his Greta Garbo biography with the help of Google Translate and the dictionary, huddled under blankets. but it was hard going without Namjoon's head on his shoulder, Namjoon translating words as they went along. It was hard without Namjoon pressed to him, easy smiles and thoughtless caresses. He kept fighting through the book alone, refusing to be defeated. What would happen to him if no one ever came back? He wondered. Would he just become a lost figure among the crowds, going to work, coming back home, never talking to anyone? A lot of people lived like that, he realized. He must see such people every day without realizing. People who existed right in the middle of everyone, but without interaction. It seemed a fate too lonely to bear. Who will remember him when he's gone? He looked at Greta on the cover, tracing her flawless face. I remember you, he said. He wondered if she cared. I never said I wanted to be alone, Greta had once said. I said I wanted to be left alone. That is the difference. He ended up on his laptop, going through pictures of Christmases past. The year before with Jimin and Jungkook. The year before that with his family. He stilled, took a deep breath. And the year before that, him and Sanhun on their seaside break in Jeju. Just the two of them. Sanhun on the snowy beach in a winter coat and a Santa hat, looking cute. Damned handsome then, as Sanhun was now too, he had no doubt. Seokjin had taken what seemed like 100 selfies of them in their Christmas hats, locking lips and then grinning at the camera. Afterwards, when summer came and Sanhun left him, Sanhun had said he'd been thinking about breaking up for 6 months at least. 6 months. That included Christmas. Seokjin blinked at the screen, seeing his own oblivious, blissfully happy grin. And when he looked at Sanhun, he couldn't tell. He couldn't tell Sanhun was falling out of love, perhaps already was out of love. Seokjin couldn't tell. And that was the worst part. Sanhun had needed him so much, in a way, before casting him aside. He'd been needed once. No one needed him now. No one depended on him. He spent Christmas entirely alone and forgotten. And that was freedom, right? That was liberty. That was what he fought to maintain. It had been years. It had been literal years, for fuck's sake. He'd learned. He knew himself. He'd learned, perhaps not as much as he should have, as he thought of Namjoon, but it was another lesson for him. Namjoon had asked to be the exception. He had been the exception that strengthened the rule. He pushed the screen shut and made himself a strong whiskey drink in the kitchen, adding cranberry juice because ho, 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 Christmas Day. He knew he had to survive by himself. But the truth was that he wasn't good alone. He needed people, a crowd, an audience. He needed to be the funny guy, the entertainer with lame jokes. Bad thoughts crept in when he was left to his own devices. Bad thoughts that echoed his worst fears. It was nothing he didn't know. Worthless, a failure, boring, unlovable. And the funny guy act that he put on? Just that, an act. Everyone saw through it. His friends probably didn't really even like him. Life would be easier if he didn't exist at all, and he knew that was a paradox. How could life that did not exist exist? A lifeless existence? An oxymoron. And he could almost hear Namjoon's voice then, in a half-grin. Ah, good word. Oxymoron. A good word. He stood there, quietly. He wondered what Sanhun was doing on Christmas Day. He wondered. The cast was back in rehearsals the day after Boxing Day, and Seokjin couldn't have been more relieved. His friends stayed absent, however, although he got messages and pictures, but he felt too subdued to answer them. Jimin texted, Hello, Jinyoung. I can see these messages have been ticked as read. You are definitely alive. Call me.
He replied that he was busy with work. The days dragged. Then, Hosuk messaged him 2 days before New Year's, asking him to come to a party that he and his sister were throwing. He hesitated. Jungkook and Taehyung were still out of town. Jimin and Yoongi would be there but busy with each other. He wouldn't know anyone else. Seha had invited him as a plus one to a party she was going to, out of pity, no doubt. He weighed his options. In the end, he told Hosuk he'd be there. He'd get drunk, first thing, and it'd be easy from there. Hell, it was a New Year's party. It was okay if he showed up drunk even. He hadn't spoken to Namjoon in what felt like weeks, and he hadn't seen Namjoon since the accidental coffee with Jimin and Yoongi. Namjoon was busy with his family. Seokjin knew as much from Namjoon's Instagram, from the artsy shots of Namjoon posing by buildings and lampposts and family members, often with lyrics attached from cool bands and artists that Namjoon listened to. No reason to think of a random ex-screw back in the city, right? Especially not when it was finished. He saw no evidence of the new squeeze on Instagram, but as it was recent anyway, it seemed too soon for meeting the family. Namjoon did message him, though, after Christmas, asking how he was. But Seokjin knew that the message was pity. It was clearly pity because Namjoon knew he was alone, with no one who cared for him, and so he only replied hours later and he kept his answer vague and brief. Busy with the play, he said. But he was just fine. New Year's Eve rolled around, and he headed to the address Hosuk had given him. He made sure to show up late, 11:15. Hosuk had already messaged him an hour ago with a, "Hyung, hurry up!" He'd put on a black silk shirt, smart black trousers. He'd fixed his hair 1,000 times. Put on a few rings, nice earrings. He looked like $1,000,000. He felt absolutely hollow on the inside. He couldn't be this weak, could he? A week, 8 or 9 days without his usual support system, and he'd broken to pieces. He hadn't been sleeping. He'd been making himself drinks for reasons like, "You came home from work, have a drink," and "No one cares about you, have a drink," and "Remember when you thought you and Sun-hoon would be together forever? Well, that was a riot. Have a fucking drink." He was a social drinker. He hardly ever drank alone. He had drinks alone. After the peace and quiet, it was a shock to his system to walk into a party that was bustling and loud. People everywhere. Hosuk's friends, the sister's friends. Hosuk spotted him quickly, covering him in excited hugs, tugging him along to meet some people, introducing him as his actor friend. He'd forgotten his lines 3 times that day. The director had shouted at him. And then leaving him to mingle. He ended up without company, though, so he looked around the living room. There was a selection of framed photographs on the wall, of Hosuk's family and friends. One caught his attention. It was of 5 people at a water park. 3 men standing by a pool in swimming trunks, 2 women in bikinis, all posing and smiling. Hosuk, Hosuk's sister, Yoongi, and Namjoon. And Namjoon was younger, face rounder with baby fat, with black hair that was buzzed short at the sides but puffy at the top, and that same dorky smile that brought out his dimples. And pressed to Namjoon was a girl Seokjin didn't know, a stunning girl with a great figure and long black hair, perfect pale skin, big smile, the bikini hiding little, but why would she hide any of that? And the two were clinging onto each other, laughing even, just beaming with joy, his arm around her waist, her arms around him. Everyone looked happy. Even Yoongi was smiling. "Hey, cutie. Hey, cutie." He had to walk away when Hosuk noticed him looking. The party got a little better when Jimin showed up. God, he had missed Jimin. And Yoongi was with him, the now designated shadow of Park Jimin. And the two were a little drunk and a little happy and a little in love.
and Seokjin had been so sure he'd feel better the second he had Jimin back, but somehow listening to the two of them talk about their time away together made Seokjin feel more alone than he'd ever felt. He escaped to the bathroom and leaned over the sink, dry heaving because he'd downed his last few drinks too fast, but he didn't throw up. He looked into the mirror, seeing his face. Perfectly symmetrical. Where were the cracks? They had to be there somewhere. The new year arrived while he was shivering in the bathroom. He heard people counting down to it, followed by shouting. And he knew they were kissing and laughing and celebrating. And they had each other. Someone knocked on the door, shouting that they needed to pee. A new year. And he was older once more. They all were automatically older. How many years do I have left now, Garbo Nuna? He wandered back out into the alcohol-fumed living room, where he walked into Namjoon. Or rather, he blinked, and Namjoon had emerged, in another coffeehouse hipster beanie, handsome and intact, like some daunting dream that mocked him with all of his failures. Namjoon looked nothing like the younger man in the pool picture. And then, in the next instance, he and the younger man looked exactly alike.
"I've been looking for you," Namjoon said.
Seokjin hadn't known Namjoon was back in the city. God, Namjoon was beautiful. Far more beautiful than some quickly taken picture on Instagram could ever show.
"I was hoping we could talk."
And Namjoon had a hand on his waist and he couldn't stand it. The beanie was red. Burgundy. But it was red. And it reminded him of Sanghun's Santa hat on the beach in Jeju, when Sanghun no longer loved him, because no one did. Jimin bounced over, shouting about a happy new year, and Seokjin slipped away in the chaos of it. Hosuk's apartment had a balcony, a small rectangular space with two plastic chairs folded up and leaning against the wall. He leaned against the railing, shivering in the sub-zero air of the 1st of January, his black silk shirt far too thin for it. He shivered, and he felt better. His head was clearer. Ninth floor. The view below was dizzying. He stumbled back from the edge, hitting the window, and then he sat down, right there, no shoes on his feet, just his red socks, his behind on the tundric concrete. The window to the living room was above his head, casting half of the balcony in cold, yellow light, and the music thumped loudly, people laughing and chatting and singing, still wishing each other a happy new year. He closed his eyes and breathed, just breathed until the trembling stopped. He was cold, numb to the bone, but calmer. The door opened, and Namjoon stepped outside. He was holding Seokjin's coat that Seokjin had thrown onto Hosuk's bed atop the others. He blinked, and with clammy hands reached out to take it, wordlessly pulling it over his shoulders. Namjoon sat down next to him, pulled off his beanie, then studied him, briefly, before reaching out to push the beanie over Sokjin's head, making sure to get it over his ears. Seokjin blinked and let him.
"Better," Namjoon said.
But he didn't sound satisfied. "It's not that cold," he said. His breath rose in the air. A silk shirt and a beanie. There was a look. He couldn't feel his toes. Namjoon had boots on, at least.
"Mind if I smoke?"
Namjoon asked, and pulled out a cigarette pack. Seokjin watched him in surprise. "You don't smoke?"
"Nope," Namjoon agreed, lighting up a cigarette. "I never smoke."
He inhaled deep, filling his lungs with it, before leaning against the wall, the back of his head touching the bottom of the window.
"I smoked for like a year when I was 17. Thought it was cool,"
he said, and exhaled, grey swirls in the air.
"So when I go home now, stay in my old bedroom. It's a craving, I don't know. The association, the house, my parents. Hell, definitely them. And with the anniversary chaos on top, I lasted for a day before buying a pack.
The pictures looked happy, he said, quietly. He didn't care if this was him admitting to social media stalking. They followed each other. He'd seen the shots.
We show others what we want others to believe, and we see what we choose to see.
Namjoon sounded tired. He was in a black jumper, new-looking. What Seokjin worried it wasn't warm enough. He remained in his silk shirt, coat over his shoulders.
The reality of the past week? Getting my career choices questioned, my choice to live in the capital questioned, having my grandmother ask me why I'm single and why I don't have children or even a girlfriend. And that's without us even broaching the queer spectrum.
Seokjin watched Namjoon smoke.
I thought you were seeing someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, for a bit there.
Turned out to be complicated.
He realized Namjoon was maybe, perhaps, talking about him.
Namjoon scraped the balcony floor with the heel of his boot, a frown on his face.
I've been wanting to talk to you, Namjoon said quietly, with resolve.
The party started playing Gangnam Style. It didn't fit.
Seokjin felt so empty, so drained. No jokes came to him, no loud and boisterous comeback. He didn't have the energy to fight off Namjoon. So he just stayed, sat on the balcony in the night, freezing.
Sure, what about you, I guess, if I may.
Very polite. Have at it.
Namjoon scratched the tip of his nose, lost in thought.
Okay, well, you've always told me you want to stay single. Since the first night, you've been clear on that, Namjoon said. And you don't have to tell me about the past, that's not my business, and that's fine. I just want to ask about the present. Not what was, but what is.
Namjoon paused, expression thoughtful.
Why do you want to be alone?
I don't want to be alone, he argued back. I want to be left alone.
But no, that wasn't true either. He had recently learned how very much left alone he didn't want to be. I just don't want a relationship.
Okay, sure, why not?
Isn't it shitty I even need to justify it? How he assumed coupledom is the goal? He complained.
He'd been asked similar questions a dozen times in the past few years. He was annoying, intrusive, presumptuous. He hated people asking him that. He got defensive instantly. Namjoon nodded slowly.
Yeah, you're right. It is shitty. But I'd still like an answer.
Seokjin exhaled, considering.
Solitude becomes habit. Couples and, you know, other people, they don't realize that. After a while, the thought of letting anyone in becomes impossible. Maybe it didn't start like that, but now it's hard to imagine anything else.
He kept his eyes on the building opposite and tugged his coat over his shoulders further.
God, he was cold.
The yellow glow from the living room was catching Namjoon's hair, casting a halo on him.
He would have one, wouldn't he?
Namjoon took another long inhale of the cigarette, eyes on his boots. Just thinking, Seokjin could tell. After the exhale, Namjoon rolled his neck, like chasing a phantom pain, and then stilled.
But don't you miss having intimacy?
Seokjin found it in himself to smile, because he was amused, genuinely. Oh, I'm terrified of intimacy. That's exactly what I'm trying to avoid. A frown flickered across Namjoon's face, so Seokjin went on, although he felt his throat closing up.
Letting someone see how vulnerable you actually are? That's terrifying. It's like we walk around pretending we're these wholesome, intact beings, right? When in reality, we are broken all over. You say intimacy, and I don't even know what that means anymore. But for me, it's a threat. It feels hostile, invasive.
Namjoon began to say something, but then changed his mind. He offered the cigarette to Seokjin, but he shook his head.
Namjoon shrugged, taking another drag before saying,
"Right, but no man is an island. People need people. We need people close. It's human nature. It's how we're built. Otherwise, life would be damn lonely."
Into the quiet space between them, somehow detached from the noise of the party, Namjoon asked,
"Aren't you lonely?"
"I have my friends. All that stuff, companionship, intimacy, I can have that from friends. Romantic intimacy isn't the be-all and end-all. Sexual intimacy isn't either."
"Of course not. Aren't you lonely?"
"Yeah." His throat had closed up and his eyes burned. He cleared his throat, wiped at his nose, the tip freezing in the cold, and tried to compose himself, unable to look at Namjoon. "But I've learnt to live with the feeling, and it's easier, it's better this way."
He nodded, mostly to himself. "It is, trust me. I know myself, and it is.
Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's the right choice,"
Namjoon said, not unkindly, just as if to offer it as a consideration.
"In a way, aren't you denying yourself affection?"
"Ha," he said, tugging Namjoon's beanie further over his ears. "The man who has banged half of the city lectures me about affection."
"I really have not," Namjoon objected. "I had a phase, maybe. I got over it. I don't know. Now I'm looking for something else. Intimacy. Affection."
"Affection's a luxury."
"Affection is a fundamental human need."
"Not for me," he disagreed, shaking his head. "Nope. I'd rather be alone and safe than vulnerable with someone. And I'm better as a friend, you know, as the funny guy. I'm better at that than I ever could be as a significant other."
Namjoon was very still next to him. He sighed.
"Look, if someone had to choose between me and some other guy without my numerous, myriad, abundance of issues..."
"Good words."
"Yeah, thanks. Then it's that other guy they should go for. Anything other would be me pretending to be able to offer something I can't. Me pretending to be some person I can never be."
"Who says you can't offer it?"
But he didn't want to talk about it. He'd said enough. His eyes burned. It was enough. Seokjin took in a deep breath, shivering, but not from the cold. He hated talking about this. Jimin and Taehyung had probed and knew vaguely what he thought. They were too undamaged for Seokjin to launch this level of truth on them. But Namjoon was different. Namjoon was chipped around the edges too. And most importantly, Namjoon had not belittled his views. Others just chirped, "Oh, you just haven't met someone special yet." He met special people all the time. What did they say behind his back? How tragic. Face of an angel, sure. A funny guy with big smiles, but a mess beneath.
"Seokjin,"
Namjoon pressed. At length, he said, "I don't recover like other people. The party was playing some other song now, still upbeat. He stared at the floor. Other people can date one person after another or hop from one relationship to the next. I'm stuck. I don't recover. Other people make it look so easy, but I clam up inside. I'd like to be capable of intimacy and all of that stuff in some perfect alternative reality, but it's insurmountable to me in this one. And Namjoon huffed a little. And Seokjin knew. Good word, yeah, good word. Beside him, Namjoon stubbed out the cigarette on the balcony floor. The air smelled of tobacco, the beat of a hip-hop track echoing in the air. Laughter. Hoseok, followed by Jimin. Seokjin felt like an open wound. No longer bleeding, but still gaping open, ugly and torn. What was he supposed to do? Find some perfectly normal person and ruin their entire life by launching all of his fears and insecurities on them? That wasn't fair. No, he'd never do that to someone, let alone someone he liked. And so he stayed on his island, where he didn't have to deal with his baggage. On his island, unaware of the outside world, he was issue-free. It was only if he attempted leaving that he found out there was a toll to pay and he had no currency whatsoever. Easier to stay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Namjoon said, hands now on his knees. But who's asking you to pretend you've never had your heart broken anyway? We're in our mid-20s. Show me someone who hasn't been hurt, right? I think you can be in love with someone and still mourn a past love. We don't talk about that enough as a society.
Namjoon was waving his hand in the air in a vague, wee gesture.
How couples who are in love still have feelings for others too. We create this myth that you can only love one person and must reject all notion of others, but we all know that's not actually true, don't we? We know that's not how human feelings actually work. Take me, for instance, as an example then. I think about my ex every day, every damn day. And it's been what? Nearly 2 years?
Seokjin smiled, void of any good feeling.
Maybe you should get back together then.
Maybe Yuna cheated on me with one of her friends,
Namjoon countered. And Seokjin had never known that.
Cutie, what did you do? Shit.
They were pressed together. Shoulder to shoulder, outstretched thigh to outstretched thigh. Seokjin was left unsure as to when that had happened. Their voices were low, although no one was there to hear them.
Namjoon said, "You can come back from cheating. I'm not saying cheating has to end every relationship, but definitely ended mine. And like, I wasn't emotionally available too. I think that's the expression. I mean, in hindsight, I can see what happened was partly on me that I neglected her a lot. I'm not great with showing how I feel, so she thought. But anyway, point is that in the moments when I miss her, it doesn't matter to me, not really, what she did and how awful it was. I loved her. That's what my heart remembers, the love, not the cheating."
Namjoon paused and shook his head.
"It's been almost 2 years."
It was over 2 years for Seokjin. Hell, 2.5 now. And Namjoon knew it.
God, everyone always said that you'd get over it, find someone new. What if you never got over it, though?
No one ever said that was okay, too.
"You know what's awful about breakups?"
he asked, mildly encouraged now.
"All the memories and in-jokes that become obsolete. Like, you joked once about getting a degree in Seokjin. It's like that. You have a whole degree in a person. You sat the exams and graduated with high marks, and then the industry collapses, and you're left with a useless degree you can't even fucking use. What's the point of me knowing
Lee Sun-hoon had a scar on the sole of his right foot was the point of me knowing he got it from a broken glass on a beach in Malaysia when he was a kid and that his mother panicked and he needed 3 stitches. When's that pop quiz coming? I mean, what's the fucking point? Because when it falls apart, you're just left with all this useless knowledge. And fine, you forget. Sure, I forget more each day. But what do you do with the memories and in-jokes and a useless degree in a person you haven't even spoken to in years? You carry all of that around, and the only person you shared that with is just gone. They're not there anymore. So it's locked up inside you, and it eats away at you. What the hell do you do with that? He let out a breath, completely surprised he'd been so angry about it. After the anger, instantly, sorrow followed.
Namjoon looked up towards the sky. You let it go, Seokjin.
He blinked. That's it? The grand solution? I just let it go? Snap my fingers? Shrug my shoulders?
You said it'd be easy. It's hard. It's the hardest thing any of us do, and even then, there are some parts, little moments and memories that you'll never let go. Small imprints of people that stay with you forever. But as much as you can, you get rid of as much as you can. Don't carry it with you. That's too much.
Seokjin stared ahead of himself, numb. And then what? Reboot and repeat? Like it's nothing? Let someone in, and then one day wake up with them missing? He shook his head. I'd never survive it. Fuck. I know I talk big. I do. I know I do. But when it comes to this, I'm weak.
Seokjin. Namjoon's arm wrapped around his shoulders, pulling him in. The gesture broke him, and he shook his head wildly, pulling his knees up and hiding his face. What a party! Goddamn.
Sick. Oh, God, this is so pathetic, he muttered.
Namjoon said nothing, and Seokjin was too tired to be embarrassed even over his outburst.
God, how do people with broken hearts function? He asked. If other people felt this awful ache that had become muted as time passed, sure, but it never left. How did they all function? Did he feel too much? Did others feel less? He gathered his wits, the little he could. He steadied himself. Fine. I'm scared. That's what it comes down to, right? That's what you want to hear? I don't put myself out there because I'm scared. Are you happy now? He swallowed, a lump still in his throat, and quickly wiped at his cheeks. I'll join a monastery, become Buddhist, I think. I could rock a shaved head, right? And orange looks good on me. Brings out my eyes, so I'll rock that look.
Namjoon lifted his chin and kissed him. Breath laced with tobacco, lips cold because it was winter, an endless winter. And they were both freezing. Namjoon's thumb stroked over his cheek, the kiss holding him gently. Seokjin exhaled against Namjoon's mouth, exhausted and drained. He was done fighting. He'd laid down his arms. Take me home. He didn't care who saw them leaving the party together. End part 2.